In this morning's Bible reference, I dedicate this to the Phoenix. And I read the following from Psalm, where is it, 119. I've just thought this one up. It's the best I can do at the moment. Psalm 119. And I hope these words speak true and help them and us all. And I'm reading from verse 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. I said that this morning, and I changed the hymn, because we have to trust and obey. No matter what we do in this world, where we are, or who we have to trust and obey. And I've chosen that word as a thought this morning around what I'm going to talk about. I was originally going to talk about something else, but I think I might have to change it this morning because I feel it's my duty this morning to support the ones who have supported this church for so long in their church endeavours here today. Now, I'll tell you something. In the next 2 weeks, I was going to do the same thing on March the 30th, but you didn't know. I was resigning on March the 30th through ill health, but I'm not now. I was. After the lesson, I was going to resign because I'm not too well. But that's just me. And now it gives me the added bonus to be able to stay on. So some days I might have to be sitting here doing the Sabbath school lesson, not standing. That's just the way it's got to be. I have a walking stick right there. If I fall over, Peter Robert knows how to pick me up. Because I have two muscles in my right knee now will just drop me like that. Like that. I can't get away from it. So, with those thoughts today, I would like to dedicate this time this morning, what I'm going to say, to Paul and Katie. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. I say that with respect. Now this morning I was going to do something, but I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to do that later. Let's turn to John 1:1. John 1:1. And I want to go right back. This is ad hoc. I'm just doing it as I go along. John 1:1. And the word becomes flesh. And I want to read from, I've got it written down here. John 1:1-5. John 1:1-5 was part of my sermon this morning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Look at what it says there. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Paul and Katie in this church, since I have known them, have been a light in this church and a joy to know. I find them very, very pleasant people, and they've always helped me with anything I needed. Care, concern, and everything like that. It is a sad time for me to be doing this today, but that's the way it is. And I'm missing something today, good people. You'll see that I'm missing my right arm, not physically. I haven't had a chance to put the board up here today, ladies and gentlemen. I had a few problems family-wise at home last night, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and put it on the board. So I'll have to just go ahead and just do what I think's right. If we turn now back into Psalms, Psalms 100, I'm going to be just flicking forward, backwards and forwards here. I'm just thinking this up as I go. Psalm 100. Well, there's another one. Psalms 100. Another five verses I'd like to read. Shout for the joy. Psalm 100, 1 to 5. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. And thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and the love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Just because you step away from office in this church doesn't mean to say you're going to become a back pew sitter. You're still a member of this church and you still love the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you may not be able to take office here. That's fair enough. We understand that with sadness. But we have to move on. And it is good to know that there are going to be people around here, people in this community, in this church, that are willing and able, hopefully able, me included, hopefully, Lord, they're going to be able to take up this challenge of leadership or eldership in this church to continue. Things happen in lives that one don't expect these things. And they sometimes play out. But that's the way. Shout for joy to the Lord. What I was going to talk about today, and then I'll have to do it a bit later, is this. Yes, it's getting a bit late. The title of today's sermon was going to be, for the record, "The Heavens Declare the Glory of God, and the Firmament Shows His Handiwork." I'm going to put that away for a while. We'll do that another time. Recently, I had occasion to be up in New South Wales. And I had at a tribunal meeting to do with a government issue from someone that popped up in the workplace related problem. And I had to travel home in the back of a car. And I was prompted to sit in the back of the car. This was an unusual trip, nothing unusual about a trip in a car at night time. But this car had a roof on it that went back. Now this trip was 4 hours. 4 hours. Two people in the front, husband and wife, and me in the back. And I got thinking today, thinking that way home, this is my next sermon. My next sermon gave me the idea a few weeks ago when I read a promo on one of your bulletins on the front page of Isaiah 45:18. And I read this. "For thus says the Lord," it's right, "who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, and who did not create it in vain, who framed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's no other. Interesting passage of Scripture. God created and fashioned the world. As I was sitting up in that car that night, travelling back, talking and looking out the window quietly and not telling them what I was looking at, I looked up. And my eyes were stunned. Not stunned, because I could put another title to this service today in relationship. Open my eyes that I might see. That night, for 4 hours or so, travelling in the back seat of a car with the high beam light going up and down, I was able to see a bit of God's handiwork. And it got me thinking, very much so, very much so, what am I looking at? All of that, all of that. Previous to that, I've had an experience over my lifetime of being able to sit in railway carriages, travelling home, of a night time in a roomette with the light out. With a light out, not on, not sitting in a bus or a car, and I've been able to watch and just look at the moon and the stars and everything like that. And this particular night, I forget it was the middle of the week, I was transformed and fixed to what this meant. And so today, as a respect, I'm going to just change it around a little bit. In Genesis 1:1, I want to look at Genesis 1:14, I'm sorry, 1:14. And I want to look at verse 14 to 19. The fourth day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and the days and the years. And let the light in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. He also made the stars. God sent them into the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the fourth day. When we did the lesson today, and we were thinking about the Sabbath, the creation week was something special. The creation week was one of those periods of time when we are, or I am, and you probably are too, in absolute awe of what God can do. There's not a subject anywhere or a thing He can't do. He knows how many hairs I have or haven't got on my head. He knows how I am feeling. He knows everything about me. He even knows what I'm going to say before I say it. It is interesting that God does that. I am very, very privileged to be in a position to say that I have lived both in New South Wales and Victoria. And I have seen the things around me have evident that there is a Christ, a Jesus God. I'm sorry, God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. One looks around today and sees evidence everywhere of His handiwork. Recently in a lesson, we did something called creation, the biblical theme. Creation, the biblical theme. Now I'm going to read a little story. I had two, but I'm going to change. I'll drop that one. Now, about something which will explain what's going on. It was in the lesson pamphlet this quarter. There was a well-circulated story about a Russian Tsar finding a soldier standing guard over what appeared to be a vacant spot in the palace garden. I've got details for you later. When asked what he was guarding, the sentry answered to the effect that he had no idea, but the regulations required a sentry to be there. The Tsar had the records checked and discovered that many years earlier, Catherine the Great had planted a new rose bush there and had posted a sentry to protect it from the evening. Somehow, the order continued to be implemented, even beyond the death of both Catherine and the rosebush. Thus, the current sentry had no idea what he was guarding or why. Many believers in creation are like that sentry. They know that creation is important, yes, but they cannot tell you why. Belief in Genesis 1, creation has become a tradition with little known significance for many of its data from Genesis 1, but also to understand why the biblical authors were using such data. In what way did they understand Genesis 1? How would that represent Genesis 1 and affect the message of the biblical authors who are making use of the creation story? Creation story is no matter what I say or what I do, everywhere I look out there, everything that's been done is done for God. Now, we are short of rain, yes. And I saw a little bit this morning, or I felt a little bit. But that's the way it is. That is our patch in this country here to not have any rain. But in looking at the dry earth, one sees vast cracks. Cracks that are appearing in man-made things. I was in Forest Hill on Thursday, Melbourne suburb, in the carport of my brother-in-law's house, double carport, has a crack in it. About that wide. Because it's dry and there's no rain. I was waiting out the garden this morning in the front of my house to be picked up. And I've discovered what the lack of water is doing to our house, my house, and yours too. That there are bushes and plants out there that are dying. Now it's an interesting thought, because I'm going to change it right round now again. Jesus is the water of life. Think of the story of the well, with the lady at the well. If I drink the water of life through the Bible here, and I haven't got the passages now, I will be able to drink from the everlasting waters, which in turn is going to give me a chance to have everlasting life, if I so desire. Because our Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth for you and me and passed away, at Calvary on the cross with all those things that he did for us. On the cross he only asked for one thing. Well, actually asked two. He asked for a drink and he wanted to know where his mother was before he died. Jesus cares what happens to us. He cares about everything about us. If he cares that much, if he cares about his mother that way, it should give us the idea that he also cares about us, in whatever way we think. For if we are true and upright, and drink from the living water, the Bible, we will be able to go forward into a world which unfortunately is a little bit dark outside. Now, as we know, darkness out there can sometimes lead to certain bad things. Recently in Melbourne, I was down there this last weekend doing an exhibition. They are cleaning up on the streets all the beggars. It is now an offence down in certain streets in Melbourne to sit on the street and beg. I walked up Collins Street on Thursday morning. All the usual beggars that I know, all gone. Now, where they've gone, I've got no idea. They've probably gone up round the corner, or they're probably out Ringwood or Burwood or someplace like that. But they're booed. How is society treating those people today? Are they in a situation that they need? I also need. We all need. We have requirements. We need one another. We need Paul and Katie. We need one another to support one another, to pat you on the back, to give you encouragement, which I'm trying to do today. We need that. Yes, life becomes a bit difficult sometimes. I had an experience last night. I had my sister ringing up in tears. Problems in Melbourne. I'm not going to go into them. But that's the way it goes. They're not coping. One has to just pray and hope and pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Hence, no bored. Things change dramatically sometimes, but we have to carry on. Just this week I heard of a situation where something has surfaced 100-odd years after the event, namely the Titanic, and a violin has turned up in an auction house in London, off the Titanic, and it's marked. Now, it's an interesting thought, this. Where it come from and all that, I don't know yet. I haven't found this out. It's going to be auctioned. And they just say that this violin is probably going to collect $2 million off the Titanic. Is your life worth $2 million? More. Thank you. More. I just thought of something. I've got a railway book at home. Very rare one. I paid $55 for it about 15 years ago. And one of the railway collectors who knows these things tells me today it's worth $220. One book. A collector's item. Do I want to be in the collector's item situation where I've got a book? I've got a book here that's more value than anything else in the world and is still today considered to be the best-selling book published in the world over all the novels and everything else. Now, we can read it and we can study it, and with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, we can understand where we go with it. But we have to do it. We have to understand what it's about. And I praise God this morning from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was all over the spirit of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it says. And God said, "Let there be light." Just the mere thought of that and what we were talking about evolution this morning just makes me thankful, so thankful that I can sort of be here today and believe in God. Now I might have my own thoughts and my own little bad ways and all this sort of thing, and might run a bit late for a train or something like this sometimes, or get a bit hot under the collar sometimes, I hope not. But I praise God today that I'm able to stand up here today. Praise God that He is God. Because in the first 4 or 5 chapters of Genesis, it speaks of God. God by the breath of this, God by the breath of that, and so forth, and Cain, and whatever it goes through. It says it in my notes that I was reading about this, what I was doing today. He speaks of God. What God has done. When I go out and I look at the ocean, and I look how deep the oceans are, and I saw a program the other night, and they've gone down, they found a spot in the ocean somewhere in the Atlantic, it's over about 4,000 metres deep. You can work it out for feet, that's a long way down. And when they get down there, they can actually find animals that they've never seen before. It's amazing. All right, now some people might think of me, oh yes, I'm a bit of an evolutionist. No, I'm not. Whether you like the program from the television on a Sunday night by Sir David Attenborough, or whether you believe him or don't believe, put the evolution bit out the side and put that up and up and forget it. Watch what he's doing. Because he has done for me more in the world of animal life and showing us about the plants of life than anyone else has ever done in the world and the way it's been done. Absolutely unbelievable. We look at this country. We see things around us in this country. We see rivers polluted. We see this and that. Where if we don't take care of things in this world today, we're not going to have a world. I take, for example, the Murray River in New South Wales. Down to a trickle. Because of the environment. How do we look after the environment? Do we look after the environment in a way that it's good and sustainable, or do we abuse it? We have to learn to open our eyes to see what's out there. I can shut my eyes. The other night I came home. I don't remember going through Glen Thompson on the bus. I was pretty tired. I remember getting into Hamilton. I don't remember Glen Thompson. Mind you, I've been up for 2.5 days, just about. But that's the way it is. Are you spiritually asleep? Or are you spiritually awake? If I am spiritually asleep, I'm no good to anyone. Least of all God. Because if I'm spiritually asleep, that verse in Revelation 3:21 where it says, I stand at the door and knock, is no good. I have to be alert. Hence the vigilance control. I have to be alert of what's going on either side of me and around me and in nature. Nature speaks to me something lovely every morning when I see the birds and the cats, next door neighbour's cats, up and down the path. But unfortunately, in our society, we have a little bird around our place called a black crow. And I think I got about 4,897 on my back veranda every morning. Sounds like it. And if ever I said something, a bird that sort of turns, ooh, I don't like that one. That's the one I don't. It's called in the Bible a raven. But that's the way it was. That was the way it was made. That's life. Take an example. Everything around us today. What we see, how we react to it. How do we react to things when we look out our garden, out our backyard, and we see the things of the firmament that shows his handiwork? And I feel sorry that I've lost this tree, or lost that rose bush, or lost this, or lost that, because of lack of rain. Now, we live in an area around here that's normally full of rain. 3 or 4 years ago here, we were flooded out. You couldn't get to Melbourne this way. You couldn't get to Melbourne that way. But now, it's the other way around. What do we do? All we can do about this situation is pray. And once again, we've got to pray to our God and our Lord to uplift us. No matter what the situation, or no matter what problems throw up at you, there is, pardon the pun, a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm not going to say the next one. I mean, it generally happens when you least expect it. there is a light, that there's a light. But we need the light. We need the light. All right, now I've got to come back to something here now. Let's go to Matthew. Where's the Matthew? Hang on. Think of it a minute. I want to talk about the parable of the ladies and the light, you know. The good seed. Good. Right, that's the one. That's the one I'm looking at. Matthew, is it? Well, it talks about they were prepared. All right, I don't need to look it up. Are you prepared? Let me ask you this. 100 years ago, oil lamps were the thing. And gas lamps. And the lighter man, had to go out and light them. In the night. Then go and distinguish the light the next morning. Have you got enough oil in your spiritual life to be able to stay alert and stay awake? Or have you got to go down the shop to get some more? And then while you're away at the shop getting some more in the checkout queue, you find something happened. The Lord comes round the corner and you're caught in the shop trying to get supply. Are you ready? Is your light trim? I'm just going to change the last hymn too. Are you ready for that? We all have to be careful to make sure that we have enough fuel, spiritual fuel, in our minds to be able to recall verses of the Bible as was done here this morning, to be able to stand forth and say, well done. Recently, last weekend, I was at an exhibition, and somebody said to me on the Sunday, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. You go to church? I said, yes. That's why I wasn't here yesterday at the exhibition. Oh, that's nice. That's good. Now, do you want to come out to tea with us tonight? No. Because I would have had to get across Melbourne on the bus myself. I said, it's too far across the town. Where are you going to have tea? Thank you very much. Thank you for the offer, but no thanks. There are people out there in this world today who are Christians of another faith, which these were. They were trying to extend the hand of friendship. But it's also good to note, and I quote, that they know what I am. So if I turned up on a day when I'm not supposed to be there, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in church. So I won't, they don't. You're supposed to be in church. We are being watched every day. Both from our Lord up there and Jesus and God knows everything about us. Where do we go? Nearly time to finish. What happens if we are caught sleeping? Like those foolish ladies at the wedding. Years ago, I can tell you a story. I wasn't asleep, but something happened in my life that's just come to my mind. I was up the North Coast Line in New South Wales staying at my auntie's place back in the 60s. Grafton. 720 clicks up. And I had to go to Brisbane. And they lived out on the Pacific Highway north, up where the floods have been just recently, along the river there, flooded again. They've passed on now, it doesn't matter. They have. This particular morning I was to be taken 20 or 30 kilometres off down the Pacific Highway into town. Something happened this day. On the way in, the car got a flat tyre. So it got changed, no problem. When we got into the South Grafton Station, I was booked on the train, you had a book in those days. I was booked on the train. When I got to the station, the train was gone. All I saw was two red lights on the brake van going north. Oh dear, I missed it now. Trip to Brisbane. Never mind. I just made a booking for the next day, rang my grandparents and told them I wasn't coming. We get back to the service station. And my uncle says to me, "Did you miss the train?" "Yes." "Yes, had a flat tire." "Oh, tomorrow morning I'll take you in and get you there early." The similarity is this. Are we in a situation, or are you in a situation, to get down here or out that door to see our lives with two red lights on it, i.e. that Jesus has come and the door's going to get shut? Or are we going to be in a position that I want to be early if Jesus comes and be ready for him? Am I sleeping or am I not? I got a second chance that day because I get the next train, the next night's train. But I was a day late for what I wanted to do in Brisbane. Now it's interesting, another little thing that's just come out. While I was up there, quite a number of years ago, mad living there, I went down to the beach at Yamba with my young cousin on a hot summer's day. Oh, I'll be right. Sit under a beach umbrella. You know me. I'll be right. Get home that night and I was cooked like a lobster. I was booked to come on the train the next night. 4 days later, I left Grafton that night. My grandmother was that worried about me. She rang my father and told me he stayed here for 4 days and I've got to rub tomatoes all over his skin. I couldn't even sit up. I was burnt to a crisp. I learnt my lesson. I learnt my lesson in such a way that it stayed with me for the rest of my life. The lesson I want to end up with here today is that no matter what the environment throws at us, or no matter where we are, or what the situations are in this world today, we have a Saviour in Jesus Christ and God. He cares about us no matter what the problems are, big, small, or big, or bigger. They are all there. He can cope with them all at one time. Think of how the Lord is in heaven now, hearing all the Sabbath prayers. This church, that church, this church. He probably hears more prayers on a Sabbath morning or a Sabbath day than any other time of the week. But he can hear every one of them and know what they're talking about. Doesn't that make you feel confident in your life that God is willing to be here for you in prayer if we so want? Because if we are able and willing, God is willing. And so today I'm going to close with this thought. In Revelation 3, I'm going to read it. I've got to go back to it. I want to close this off. 3:21-22. All right. I'll read from Revelation 3:19. To whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and be repent. It's in red in my Bible, so it's Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, no matter what, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, there's another saying here in Revelation. I think I've got it here. Let me see. it talks about the new earth, Revelations. I think about a Revelation about 21:14, I think it is, something like that. It's 21:14. I think it's right. Talks about the new 21:40. Talks about the new heaven. No, it's not. Sorry. Talks about the new heaven and the new earth. 21, is it? 21:1. Sorry. 21. Then I saw. That's it. Thank you very much. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Sin has decimated this earth the first time. Through Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have an avenue through prayer and the death at Calvary. But then we have something far greater to look forward to, and that's what I've just read. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Just think of it. Streets of whatever. God the builder. God the architect. God of all things. Magnificent spires in the sky. Skies, everything. This week I saw a photo. Now I didn't know this. This week I saw a photo of Alexandra House. Back in the 1900s, and it had a big tower, a clock tower, at the front door, at the end. I didn't even know this existed. Till I saw, I've got it in a book, I'll show you. So, if we are given a chance, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And so this morning, I dedicate this to Paul and Katie. You now have a new beginning in the church. But we're still your friend, regardless. Doesn't matter. We can sort through we can sort through things. But it's interesting to note that I stand here today to know that God is my refuge. No matter what, out in the world there's problems. Here today, I am with God. And being with God in such a way, and Jesus Christ in such a way, I want to be able to look forward to saying, to hear the word, "Well done, you faithful servant, enter thou into the kingdom of the Lord." I hope that you want to hear those words said to you. I certainly want to hear them said to me. But one of the biggest things that we have to think of is this. Open my eyes, that I might see all things in appreciation of what God has done. If I open my eyes to see what's around, I'll see the things of beauty. I'll see the things on the Bible of the first five chapters in Genesis, which are all listed chronologically. It happened. Evolution. I want this one. Thank you. I want that. Yes, I want that. And I hope this morning that you do too. Thank you very much. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this Sabbath day and for the chance to come aside at the end of another week to renew our faith in you and to speak about things in this church today with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now, Heavenly Father, as we go forward into the week, I ask the following. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.